It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Mueller team doesn't just want to show that Paul Manafort has a closet full of skeletons. They want to show he's got a closet full of high-end cashmere suits and cream gabardine trousers. But when Mueller's team tried to justify introducing a photo of designer clothes as evidence, which would later go public, Judge T.S. Ellis rejected them and said parading all this could be prejudicial and that, quote, if it doesn't say men's warehouse, I don't know it. Mueller's team is making the case that Manafort spent seven figures on clothing, cars, and home improvements using international wire transfers drawn from accounts hidden from the IRS, rich with consulting fees paid by Ukrainian politicians. One witness from New York tailor Alan Couture said Manafort wired $730,000 for clothes over 3 years. The CFO of Beverly Hills-based House of Bijan said Manafort wired $334,000. The judge warned the special counsel to be careful, though, stressing at one point, enough is enough. We don't convict people because they have a lot of money and throw it around. Earlier, the judge told Mueller's team not to describe Manafort's business partners in Ukraine as oligarchs because that could have a pejorative meaning.
What the judge is saying is focus on the facts. Don't focus on the substance, not the shadow here. But don't dress this up.
Mueller's prosecutor caused a stir today by announcing star witness Rick Gates, Manafort's former partner, might not testify because every witness is being evaluated. Gates previously agreed to flip and cooperate with the special counsel after pleading guilty to conspiracy and lying to the FBI. And Manafort's lawyers have already warned the jury Gates can't be trusted. Today, President Trump sympathetically tweeted, quote, looking back on history, who was treated worse? Alphonse Capone, legendary mob boss, killer, and public enemy number one, or Paul Manafort, political operative and Reagan dole darling, now serving solitary confinement, although convicted of nothing. Where is the Russian collusion? But the White House won't weigh in on Manafort's innocence or guilt.
I don't believe that that's the president's role to play. He believes he's being treated unfairly.
All right, that was Peter Doocy on Fox News, and he was talking about that first day of Paul Manafort's trial being brought to account by Bob Mueller and his team. Sandy Rios with you this morning. It's really kind of an interesting, you know, Peter touched on it, but it was pretty dramatic yesterday, as I understand it, in Alexandria in that courtroom. The judge is 78 years old. His name is T.S. Ellis. He's sort of in he's not retired, but he's not taking as many cases. They must rue the day they got assigned T.S. Ellis because he has given them a really hard time. He said to them several months ago, you're really not interested in getting Paul Manafort. What you're trying to do is bring down President Trump. That's basically what he said to them. I guess when you get to be 78 and you're still on the bench, you kind of say what you think. But he's giving them a hard time. You heard Peter report that when they have all these photos and documents of his clothes and his closets. They talk about a fur coat that he has. And he basically says, you know, he says that's pejorative. He would not let the jury see all of those, although they heard the testimony of those clothiers, you have to call them, that had clothing sold to Paul Manafort in the triple digits and through wire transfers. So he allowed them to hear that. He just said, enough, enough, enough is enough. You've made your point. And the people cannot be convicted just for having money and spending it badly. So he's just giving them a hard time all the way around. I read a different account from someone else who reported this. The federal prosecutor in this case is a guy named Uso Asanye. And he was using an FBI agent, Matthew Mikuska, who was a member of the team that raided Manafort's condo. And he was using him as a witness to introduce financial records against Manafort. And then Judge Ellis interjected what was the purpose of the FBI agent as a witness when they were going to be calling Rick Gates, who was Manafort's business partner. And then the federal prosecutor, Asanye, said, Rick Gates might not be testifying. And I want to read to you from this account. Judge Ellis was not amused. He may testify, he may not, Mr. Assange told Judge T.S. Ellis. The revelation sent journalists and others out of the courtroom to report the disclosure. Judge Ellis, that's news to me and about 25 others who scurried out of here like rats on a sinking ship, Judge Ellis shot back. So that's kind of the way it's going down in the courtroom. And, you know, President Trump, I want to repeat to you what Peter Doocy quoted the president as tweeting. He says, looking back on history, who was treated worse? Alphonse Capone, legendary mob boss, killer, and public enemy number one, or Paul Manafort, political operative and Reagan dole darling, now serving solitary confinement, although convicted of nothing? And that was, and you know what? That's fair. That's completely fair from my perspective, because I think Al Capone, for all of his criminality, stealing, you know, bank robbery, just a mob boss, just totally outrageous criminal actions. I think he only got something like 12 years. So you've got Paul Manafort, who's being charged with bank fraud. And look, I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm just saying it's a matter of justice. Solitary confinement, 23 out of 24 hours a day. And then now the big thing they're bringing out against him on the first day of the trial are pictures of his clothing to tell the jury that, I don't know, people have envy now of wealth anyway. So that's a ploy, I'm sure. But the judge is kind of setting them straight on that and demanding that they deliver evidence on what he has and has not done. Now, President Trump tweeted other things yesterday. He tweeted out that Attorney General Jeff Sessions should stop this rigged witch hunt right now. Because before it continues to stain our country any further, Bob Mueller is totally conflicted, and his angry 17 angry Democrats that are doing his dirty work are a disgrace to the USA. You know, I don't disagree. I do not disagree. It's stunning that Robert Mueller has hired all Democratic operatives, Democratic donors, Obama and Clinton, Hillary Clinton, acolytes who've given tons of money to her campaign, people who are notably partisans, to prosecute, to bring these charges against affiliates of President Trump. It's a pretty remarkable, pretty stunning thing. And I think under normal times, if Trump weren't hated so much by the press, this would get a lot different kind of coverage than it's getting. All right, so then yesterday when the president tweeted that, you will recall that Bob Mueller is evidently, it's been public, according to the New York Times, looking at President Trump's tweets to see if they reveal obstruction of justice. So the press jumped right on this tweet yesterday, claiming that the president was trying to force Jeff Sessions to shut this down. You know the drill. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders in the press room had to defend, and this is how she did it.
The president is stating his opinion. He's stating it clearly, and he's certainly expressing the frustration that he has with the level of corruption that we've seen from people like Jim Comey, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe.
And, of course, where are your friends when you need them? Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, had to weigh in, too. Here it is.
There's clearly no cause for firing Mr. Mueller, and I don't think it's going to happen. The president's tweet is unfortunate. I think it's inappropriate for him to be commenting on an ongoing investigation.
All right. So, and then, of course, Senator John Thune from South Dakota, he jumped in, weighed in as well, how horrible this is, and Mueller's, you know, needs to complete this investigation. And then Chris Coon, of course, a Democrat, who sounded a lot like the Republicans. Let's listen to what he had to say.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, if the president is innocent, he should act like it, and he should cooperate with the Mueller investigation, have it go through to its logical conclusion, and then have his name cleared.
Yeah, so that's how it goes down, and the madness continues, at least for now. But, boy, this case against Paul Manafort seems so very thin to me. He has two trials. He has one in Alexandria, one in D.C. Again, not that he's an innocent man, not that he hasn't probably, like 90% of the rest of Washington bureaucrats, enriched himself by his connections and used his power poorly to enrich himself. I mean, I would actually very controversial, say to you, I saw that happen to conservatives also, who built empires based on their proximity to power in Washington. So it's a corrupt place. It makes people corrupt. So I'm not saying Paul Manafort hasn't been corrupted, but I'm just saying this is an overkill. This is overkill. They're trying to get, you know, wanting to put him behind bars for something like 300 and something years, 300 plus years. And so gotten to the state of ridiculousness. All right, I want to jump to a different subject because this is interesting. We sort of have an ongoing theme here. Well, at least occasionally, I tell you about these attacks on Trump supporters. We talked about that kid who was had his hat grabbed and by a burger place, as I recall. I know people write in. It was such and such a burger place. I don't remember. Whataburger, something like that. And the assaulter, you know, pouring drink on him. So that was one story. We've had so many. We've had attacks on Trump supporters during and after the convention, after the inauguration. But here's a new one. This is interesting. This is from PJ Media. A Massachusetts woman is accused of intentionally driving into a man's car Monday after becoming enraged by his Trump bumper sticker. Chloe Wright, 25, has been taken into custody and charged with assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. She is also facing charges of vandalizing property and leaving the scene of a hit-and-run with property damage. The incident happened in Hyannis on June 30th, the Cape Cod Times reported. On June 30th, a man called the Barnstable Police Department to report the hit-and-run crash, which happened after Wright followed him down the street and began honking her car horn at him as they waited at a red light. According to the police report, the honking continued as he drove to the next red light where the motorist started yelling at him. At this point, the man thought something might be wrong with the back of his car, so he stepped out to have a look. That's when the woman started shouting something about his Trump bumper sticker. He told the police, she said, "You voted for Trump?" I said yes. He told CBS Boston that she then called him a racist and a bunch of cuss words. The man reportedly began recording the woman on his phone while he was outside of the car. The woman proceeded to drive around his car, prompting him to hurry back into the driver's seat, according to the police report. She then allegedly drove toward his car, clipping the open door. "She bent my door and I had to lean back to avoid getting hit," the man wrote. "She also hit the side of my car." So then they tracked him down. The man's girlfriend confirmed the incident. State police stopped and arrested Chloe Wright on Monday. She was released on $1,250 bail in order to stay away from the victim. She's coming back to court on August 28th. Now, you know, here's the thing. And her defense is Trump anxiety disorder. That's going to be the defense. Here's the deal. She was violent. Can you hurt somebody with your car? You would actually aim your car for the person's door who was standing there. I mean, that's an act of violence that's really not mild, I don't think. And yeah, and she fled the scene. She didn't even stop. But what was her penalty? She got a $1,250 bail, and she's out. And she's supposed to come back and stay away from the victim. And the trial will be August the 28th. And, you know, just contrast that with what's happening with Paul Manafort, who's 23 out of 24 hours in solitary confinement, and no violence, did not escape, didn't run, didn't leave the country. So anyway, just a point to be made there. There was a riot in Oakland. There's some violence that broke out over the weekend between Antifa and what they call Proud Boys. Proud Boys, I'm not an authority on this, except that they are they say they are not racist. They are their members are different races, but they are referred to as alt-white and white supremacist, and they are accused of a lot of things by Antifa. There's a clash that's going to take place in Portland, Oregon this Saturday. And on a pro-Antifa website, they're actually talking about bringing guns this weekend. So I don't know what's going to happen with that, but you can see that the violence is escalating among some in our culture. And I'm not sure we're going to have to do to stop it, but we certainly have to support our police, which is what we are. Are we doing that? This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki Addison of Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Talk. Family is so important to everything. I mean, think about it. Right after God created Adam, he made family by creating Eve as his wife.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference this summer. We'll have a full slate of experts to help encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family.
Our speakers include Ryan Bomberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Schuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, and more.
We'll even be there.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference will be Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. Come help us fight back against the enemy's direct attack on marriage and family. That's the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference put on by Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Since Hurricane Katrina, 8 Days of Hope has loved and served people in need all over the country. In fact, we've had about 35,000 volunteers travel with us to love and serve people in need. In March, we were in Houston to help out Hurricane Harvey survivors rebuild their homes after the flooding that happened there last fall. Hundreds of thousands of families needed help then, and still today the need is there. We're looking for volunteers to go back with us. 8 Days of Hope 16 will be happening in Southeast Houston October 13th through October 20th. You can come for 3 days or all 8 days. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. If you can carry drywall, make sandwiches, pick up people from the airport, or deliver materials to the job site, we'd love for you to consider coming with us to Southeast Houston in October. 8 Days of Hope 16, October 13th to October 20th. Come and help us and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Learn more and sign up to be a part of 8 Days of Hope 16 in Houston, Texas at 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I've realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit Truett.edu today.
There is a disturbing trend in American culture and politics, the public shaming of anyone who supports President Trump or a conservative lawmaker. The latest victim of this political mob is Charles Davis, the dean of journalism school at the University of Georgia. Professor Davis is a friend of Brian Kemp, the Republican nominee for governor. He wrote a tweet calling Mr. Kemp, politics aside, a nice guy and a childhood friend. Not too long afterwards, a Twitter mob descended upon the professor, armed with hashtags and 280 characters. He was called a heterosexual white racist. The vitriol became so severe, the professor deleted the tweet and issued an apology. This is simply unacceptable, folks. We cannot and we must not capitulate to the bullies. And let me say this. Those of you who support President Trump have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to apologize for. Be loud and proud, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
ICE was born in xenophobia in the time after 9/11 and has grown up to become a tool of fear and illegality. And as Attorney General, I will continue to speak out against ICE. I will prosecute ICE for their criminal acts. We have stories of consistent abuse within ICE. The idea that we could call this law enforcement is a real offense to the idea of law itself. And as AG and as a candidate for AG, I feel like it's really important to speak out to abolish ICE.
That was the voice of New York Attorney General candidate Zephyr Teachout on her opinions about ICE. The attorney running for AG who thinks ICE members of ICE are criminals. It's just, we are living in such strange times, and that is the catalyst for our next, the next part of the next two segments, because I want to talk about the upcoming election with a little bit more detail. Also want to open the phone lines, so just hang in there for a second. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And the purpose of what I'd like to talk about today, actually, I usually kind of just let you talk about anything, and I'm not saying no, but I do want to talk about the elections, because we have so many coming up, and they are so crucial. I want to just itemize for you, August the 7th, next week, Kansas, Michigan, Missouri, and Washington State, August the 12th, Connecticut, Vermont, Wisconsin, and Maine. August the 21st, Alaska and Wyoming. And August the 28th, Arizona and Florida. And early voting is taking place in many of these states. So it's not even that you can wait until the primary day. And as I've said before, the primaries are basically the one window of opportunity where truly conservative candidates can have a shot at the general. If you don't bother to go vote in the primary, you are doing a tremendous disservice to your responsibility as an American citizen. Especially when, if you listen to this show all the time and we talk about all these issues, I'm just saying you must take responsibility. Now, let me just tell you that we're hearing all kinds of things about the chances of the Republicans losing or keeping the House. Some are saying it's 50-50. Others are reporting, this is true, that the Republicans have the toughest map to keep power in the House than they've had in 88 years. And that's because like 42 incumbents are not coming back in the Republican Party. So that leaves the seats wide open, and people, because they don't pay attention, they vote for people they recognize, whose names they recognize, and you're losing that advantage. Well, of course, to me, it's an advantage that many of those that are not coming back are liberal or rhino Republicans. They just are. That's a good thing. But that means the fight is in these primaries and then, of course, in the general as well. I want to read a few comments that I've received from listeners in the last few days. This is from Anne. First of all, kind, she says, my husband turned me on to your show. Love what you're doing. Well, that's sweet of your husband, Anne, and thank you very much for that. She, I believe, is in Texas, and she is wondering why people that she knows and loves are voting for Beto. I can't think of his last name. He's the opponent to Ted Cruz. She asked about a voter guide, and let me just say that AFA has a good voter guide, afaaction.net. afaaction.net, you go there and click it on. You can find the voter guide and enter your zip code, and it will walk you down to tell you where candidates, not to tell you who to vote for, but to tell you where the candidates stand on the issues. And so that's afaaction.net. By the way, we'll put that link on our Facebook page again. This is from Linda. She says, why should we vote for the GOP in November when they refuse to do the main thing GOP voters have wanted? Betrayed again. I can't think of a better way to offend and demotivate GOP voters than the GOP leadership refusing to fund the wall. What fateful traitors they are. Yeah, Linda, you know how I feel about it. We talked about it yesterday with Daniel Horowitz. And by the way, if you missed yesterday's show, you might want to listen to that, because in the Appropriations Committee in the House, several Republicans, many, passed some, they did not defund sanctuary cities. They defunded Jeff Sessions' written orders to implement and enforce existing immigration law. I think they gave just a few billion to the border wall. I think they did that, but it's nothing. And then the worst thing that they did was that they redefined what it means to seek asylum, and they broadened the category. So it's just getting away from violence in your country, which means everyone in Central and South America would now be eligible to come here. So that's what Linda's referring to. But let me just say this, and let me repeat that my understanding is most of the Republicans leaving Congress, and again, there's 42 who are incumbents that are leaving. Most of them are liberal Republicans, either moderate or liberal Republicans. So that's actually a good thing, but it makes it harder for them to maintain control of the House for the reasons I just said. Practically speaking, a lot of the leaders of the liberal left movement in the House are going to be gone. They're still there now, but they're going to be gone. And what's left are maybe some that aren't as ideologically strong as we would like for them to be. Maybe they don't have the passions that some of the Freedom Caucus members have, but they are more pliable. They are more persuadable. They are more leadable. If they were led by someone like a Jim Jordan, they probably would wake up to seeing things a little bit differently. They're people that could be led in the right way. So that's the good news, and that is a motivation for some to make sure that Republicans maintain control. It's going to be a different House because of the 42 that have left. It is. And a couple of those are good, but most of them aren't necessarily the kinds of people that we would be excited about seeing go back. So if the Republicans maintain control of the House, Congressman Jordan, I'm just telling you, he has a very good shot at being the Speaker of the House. In spite of what you hear or you're not hearing, I'm just telling you, he has a very good shot at that. Of course, that, you know, it's an inter-house thing. It's an inside game. And in some ways, we can't do anything about it. But in other ways, we can, because if you believe that Jim Jordan would make a good speaker, you have the opportunity while your congressmen are home. They're in their districts right now. You have really close access to them. You can go to their office. You can call their office. You can go to their town hall meetings. And you can put them on the spot about whether they will support Congressman Jim Jordan. And, you know, I have to tell you, if you ask them that question, that will tell you a lot. In the midst of the confusion about what they claim on their Facebook page, on their websites, and their ads, if you ask them that question, that will reveal to you a lot of stuff. And so that's the reason why some people are thinking they need to still support Republicans. If the opposite of that is that the Republicans lose control of the House, Nancy Pelosi will be the Speaker. And do I need to spell out, you know, all these hearings that have taken place holding people to account over the breach of trust in the FBI, the Justice Department, Benghazi, which, again, that's to me was a very bad hearing, but it took place nevertheless. It was like pulling teeth. That will all be gone. And instead, you're going to have members of Congress coming after conservatives with a viciousness. It's going to be hard, and a lot of what has happened is really be will a lot of what has been accomplished by this administration will be reversed. It's just the way it's going to be. So those are your choices. This is there was another one I wanted to read to you. This is from, you know what? Can't find it. I'll have to find it in a second, because it's a listener from Washington State, and she was saying that a lot of people, at least in her area in Washington State, are listening to this show, and they are really appreciate my input, and I appreciate that very much. It's always nice to hear that. I want to find the email. She's talking to me about various candidates out there and asking for my advice, so I'm just going to do this by memory, and I'll find her email in a second. She's giving me the name of several candidates who are running for Congress, and she's saying, could you please kind of lead us and tell us, you know, what we ought to do. Here it is. It's Gretchen from Washington State. Sorry, Gretchen. She says, most people are already getting their ballots because we have mail-in voting. They're due August 7th. And then she lays out the names of the people that have been mentioned. She says that Maria Cantwell is the incumbent, and she's very liberal. She's not very popular. Many people are saying that they are really only three good Republicans to vote for on the Republican side. They are Art Coday, Susan Hutchinson, and Joy Gibson. Then she goes through and describes to me, and I'm just going to take time to do this, because, and you'll see why in just a second. Art Coday has not spoken about our president, but he has said that he does not support gay marriage, he is pro-life, and does not support euthanasia. He also seems to be pro-Israel. Susan Hutchinson has the most money, is a strong Trump supporter. She's a former GOP chairman. She has said she is a strong Christian and seeks to roll back abortion measures. She's considered a strong fiscal conservative. She's Norwegian, which is what a lot of us are here. Her drawbacks are that she has avoided answering a lot of hot-button issues concerning euthanasia and immigration. The third one, is Joy Gibson. He's running as a Republican, but he's a libertarian. He supports the legalization of marijuana, gay marriage, and other socially liberal issues. He's a strong supporter of the president and the founder of Patriot Prayer. Our church would like your advice. Well, here's the thing, Gretchen. I can't, it would not be possible, would be actually irresponsible of me to advise everyone listening who they should vote for in these various races, because I'm not close enough to it to have enough knowledge. But I want to say some things in general. I would, in general, support the candidate who has the most courage on controversial issues. We have enough people who are have no courage, no passion, no commitment in Washington. We have plenty of those. So I would certainly, my radar would go up if I found someone who was willing to be very public about some very controversial issues. But of course, the second part of that is just because they're willing to be controversial or take a stand doesn't mean that they may not be likable. They may not be good leaders. They may only have only their wife supports them, or you know they've never they you know it may be that, that's a reason why even that though they are strong advocates of positions we support, that they're not a good candidate. So you have to take that into account. Are they electable? But not just electable. If they are a good leader and they're strong and passionate on these issues, you could make them electable. You know, what I would suggest is that you and your friends and your church group get together outside of the church building, talk about these candidates, and agree together to support one of them. Because your votes in a primary like this could win the race for one of these candidates. Do you understand that? If you all kind of ghetto away from each other and you make your decisions, well, I kind of like Joey, I kind of like Susan, that's when good conservatives can't win. It's when the people get together, an understanding when you endorse someone, you're not voting for your pastor. There are going to be flaws in all of them because this is a political, secular process. So I would suggest you do that and then cast your votes together as a block as best you can for the best candidate. So that's my general feedback on that. Let me go to the phone lines. Our phone number is, sorry, sometimes I can't talk. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Will in Texas. Going to tell us about the Senate race. Hey, Will, how are you?
You saying Will?
I did.
Oh, okay. Hey, Ms. Rios. No, I actually said Julio, but...
okay, Julio. Okay, Julio.
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to... last night I was watching the news, and I was... kind of disappointed over here because I'm seeing a little bit of Beto O'Rourke, catching up to Ted Cruz. And I'm sitting here laughing just because I think it's funny that a dude, his real name is like Robert something and O'Rourke, and what frustrates me is this guy had to go and change his name to get the Hispanic vote. You know what I'm saying? And Robert would be Roberto in Spanish and Aldo Beto would be Beto because my brother's name is Beto. And I don't know, I guess it just offended me. And I thought it was funny. Excuse me. Got a little bit in my throat. I'm a little nervous right now.
Julio, you know, but this reminds me. Remember that restaurant chain? I'm sorry, this is random. Remember Carlos Murphy's?
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Murphy's. Remember, it was like a try to be a mix of Hispanic and Irish. It was just funny. So, I mean, it's like Beto O'Rourke. It's kind of like now it could be a new restaurant chain. But why would you not want to support Beto? What is it about him that you disagree with?
Well, I've done a lot of sales, and I know a lot of conning people. And I mean, if you go, you can go and type his name in Google. You'll see that CNN is doing all this good stuff about him. Do the same thing for Ted Cruz, and it says, "Why is Ted Cruz winning Texas?" or something like that. And it's just a bunch of negative stuff initially. And it does the same thing for Bethel. And I'm literally doing this right now, and you can go and look at everything, and it's just funny. I'm just glad Ted Cruz is, still at it. Anybody that says, hey, Sanctuary City's ain't allowed here in Texas, that's cool with me. And as a Hispanic American, saying that, I got a lot of family on, my mom's family's from Texas, my dad's family's from Mexico. I got a lot of my family not liking me for it, but, I got to do what I got to do to keep my family safe.
Yes, and Julio, if you can, share with your family, it isn't about ethnicity. It's not about being Hispanic or black or white. You've heard me say this before. Being an American citizen is a set of values you embrace, and then you're loyal to this country, coalesced around those values. So people have to make a choice when they come here. If you're going to be an American, or if your first loyalty is going to be to your last country. And I guess I would say, if it is to your last country, you probably should not be a citizen or be here. Now, that's pretty harsh, but that's a choice that immigrants made for centuries in this country. They wanted to be American citizens, cast their lot with us as a people. So our loyalty is to this country, not to another. And again, it's not based on race or anything else like that. Julio, great to talk to you, and hope to talk to you again soon. We'll go back to the phones in a second, 888-589-8840, Sandy Rios in the morning.
Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. be strong. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In an amazing development, President Donald Trump and European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker have announced that the United States and the European Union have reached a deal to work toward zero tariffs. The deal includes the EU importing more liquefied natural gas from the U.S., more soybeans from the U.S., and lower industrial tariffs. So far, it seems President Trump is succeeding by doing things recent past presidents wouldn't even try. Don't look now, but the EU just blinked on tariffs. We'll have to see what happens next.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Friendships is offering Seahawks Holy Land, a very special session of their Relief Missions program for young adults beginning September 2018. Seahawks will be deployed to the Middle East following basic training and will provide medical care and humanitarian aid to Syrian war victims at Camp Ishai on the border between Israel and Syria. Study the Word and tour Israel. Experience the sites where Jesus and the disciples lived and worked. Go to friendships.org. Call 337-433-5022 for more information.
Who is God? What's He like?
How can we know?
Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Homeschool, skeptic, and group discounts are available. Pre-registration ends October 9th at ses.edu.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament now, and I'm coming to places that are named that I see on our Israel tour every March. It's really fascinating to think that Jericho existed way back in the Old Testament, thousands of years ago, and I can visit there today. The same can be said for Jerusalem. The Bible literally comes to life when you visit Israel, the Holy Land. Now, we're going in March. My wife, Allison, and I, we lead these tours every March. So if you would like to go with us, you need to go to the website and check it out. It's twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. In 1787, Benjamin Franklin famously quipped that the founders of this country had given her people a republic, if they can keep it. He and the rest of the framers understood that to do so would require, at a minimum, an informed electorate. Scholar, author, and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza has long argued that America's citizenry has been seriously disinformed for decades by leftist academics, politicians, and media. Fortunately, his newest movie, Death of a Nation, which premiered in Washington last night and opens in 1,000 theaters nationwide this weekend, is a powerful and much-needed corrective. If you love this country and want to ensure its survival for your children and grandchildren, take them to see Death of a Nation this weekend, especially if they are at risk of being seduced by leftists or their Islamist allies into surrendering our republic. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. The crucial 2018 midterms are coming up so quickly. The first week, the beginning of the second week of November is the general election, but there are so many primaries left that are beginning next week. And I am begging you, honestly, I'm begging you to take this seriously, to go online, research your candidates, to look at AFA Action's voter guide or other voter guides that you think you can trust. There are many that are conservative. They will tell you where the candidates stand on issues. And then also, I would encourage you to talk to your friends about it, to talk about why you support certain people and why you don't, and to call people that you know are really plugged in and get their advice. That's another way to do it. There's a big race coming up in Arizona. This one makes me heartsick, to be honest with you. This is a race for Jeff Flake's Senate seat. Jeff Flake is probably, as far as I'm concerned, he's a disgraceful senator. And so he decided not to run because Kelly Ward, who is a real strong conservative, was beating him in the polls like crazy. And Kelly almost, she did a very admirable job. She was a state senator challenging John McCain last time he ran. I think she got 30% in like a five-way race. So it was very respectable. So she's thrown her hat into this race, was running way far ahead, like maybe 10 points, when suddenly a man that I know and love threw his hat in the race, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, decided he would run. He's 86 years old, and he wants to run for senator. Some people are suggesting that Joe has been persuaded to do that. I can't imagine what would persuade Joe Arpaio to do this, but it's not really a rational move, and it's, in effect, splitting the conservative vote, because the third candidate in this race is sitting Congresswoman Martha McSally. Who's Martha McSally? Well, let's just say Conservative Review gives her a scorecard of 33%, Heritage Action for America, 55%, Freedom Works, 57%. She has a really bad record on all conservative issues. She touts herself as a former airline pilot, but I have to tell you that from people that I know in Arizona, I'll just read to you from someone that I know in Arizona. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Tom Chuck Norris talked about McSally's experience with the 18 aircraft. He said that when she spoke about threats while flying, her answer was madness, pure madness. I mean, she was there. There was no reason why she, under the highest level of supervision, there was a reason why she was under the highest level of supervision, because she had severe lack of knowledge and credibility, and it hasn't changed. He said a fraud is being perpetrated. There's more to say about that, but that's the race. So as it stands, Martha McSally, she's being supported by establishment Republicans, is ahead in the race. And Kelly Ward, who is the strongest conservative, I mean, Joe Arpaio is conservative also, but he's 86, and he's been persuaded to get into the race, and he's siphoned off enough votes that Kelly's running behind McSally. So that's what's happening in Arizona. But I want to know what's happening in your area. And so let's just get right to it. Let's go to Leon in Virginia. Good morning, Leon.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. So what's going on in Virginia?
Oh, my goodness. We've got through the primaries, but now we're getting ready for the general election. And I think it's so important, especially as a black conservative in the Republican Party, that we get as many people engaged. Especially African Americans. So many people are just being disenfranchised through the media to say that, you know, it doesn't my vote doesn't matter. And I think we really need to get out there. There's a lot of things going on in Virginia now that some people are just kind of in the middle, don't know which way to go. But we have to support our Republican nominee. We have to get out there, get into the communities, and just educate again. It's like a re-education going on now, Sandy.
Yeah, I think that's a fair description. Are there any, my understanding, too, that Dave Bratt is actually in trouble in his 7th district, and Dave, of course, was the one who did a surprise upset affair at Cantor. So the Republican establishment have their long knives out for him, for one thing. He is a leader in Congress. He's been a champion in every way. And now I believe he's in a really close race. Any particular races in Virginia you want to highlight, Leon?
Definitely want to highlight Ryan McAdams is running against McEachin in the 4th district. Of course, Dave Brad, of course, that is definitely a very important race in the 7th. And got many races going across the board, the 12th district. And it's just so many. Denver Riggleman is running, of course, and we just got to get out there across the board. Virginia needs every person to get re-engaged, you know, and don't listen to the media saying that you don't have a chance and all of those type of things. We have to get out there and do the grassroots, do our homework, and again, like you say, talk to the friends and family. We got to get this conversation going again in the grassroots.
Hey, Leon, before you go, and I have to ask you quickly because we have to get on, you know, in Virginia, is there a source or a place, a website or anything that you would recommend for people to look at to sort of get to know these candidates, the ones you think are good?
The website that you were given is a great resource and website. Also, the Family Foundation, they have always given the scorecards and helped out with giving as far as their scorecard on the candidate and so forth. And I just think we just need to still, again, go to our local offices and call the switchboard and just really start to have conversations again about what is most important for Virginia. And the Conservative Party, I believe, Republican Party, we have the answers. We support President Trump and all the things going on. Black unemployment at its lowest, women unemployment at its lowest, Hispanic unemployment at its lowest. It's just crazy that we would not be talking this stuff up and getting back into the community and saying these are the things that are happening and kind of separate ourselves from the disenfranchised media that just keep on putting out this poison against some of our candidates.
Yeah. All right. Very well said, Leon. I really appreciate your input, and I'm so glad you're listening. Thanks a lot. It's Virginia Family Foundation that he was talking about, and they really do have a great reputation. I didn't know about their voter guide, so there you go. And also, of course, American Family Association, AFAaction.net. Go to our voter guide, and it will walk you through what you have to do to find out where these candidates stand. This is TJ in Oklahoma. Good morning, TJ.
Yes, I've been trying to get on the radio. I've been listening to the station for quite a while now, a couple of years, driving back and forth to work and everything else like that. I really appreciate all y'all do on this radio station.
Thank you, TJ.
Keep informed about things that aren't talked about on the regular news media and everything. But Trump's talking about as far as shutting down the government.
Yeah,
I voted for Trump. We think he's a great president, and I know that's one of the tools, the president has in his arsenal to get, things that he needs to get done. I have no problem with that at all. But I'm a civil servant. I work for the Air Force, airplanes, on the flight line every day, in the heat, in the cold, everything else like that. And the last time that the government was shut down, we were off every Friday. We couldn't work on Fridays for right at a month. And the thing we had about that was the fact that, and I've heard it from quite a few people on this radio station, and that's the reason I'm calling. I inform you on what's really going on, because people I've heard, oh, the government workers just pay, they're going to get back pay. Well, I'm a WG worker, wage grade worker, out on the flight line, and those Fridays didn't get paid. We didn't get paid. But the people that sit in the offices and the air conditioning and the heat and, sit behind the desk and everything else like that, the GS workers, they got back pay. But we didn't. For the ones out there, busting our hump in the heat and the cold and everything else like that.
Yeah. So there's a different category. Well, that's good to know, TJ. And I don't know how I feel about this, honestly. The only thing I know is, the only thing I will say, and I think you probably understand this, because Republican leadership has so undermined this president and his policies. And I know when the president speaks about it, he blames it on Democrats. And certainly they're to blame. Yes, that goes without saying. But the lack of leadership on the Republican side is just as their hands are just as dirty, as far as I'm concerned. And this may be the only way he can get some of these policies, especially on immigration, passed. It might be, TJ, that they may do because they. Now, I want to get on with discussions about the election, but and maybe we can come back to this whole business of shutdown next week. But let me briefly tell you that the omnibus has been divided into 12 what they call minibuses. So each different major department is being funded separately. It may be that they might consider just a shutdown for Homeland Security, which would not involve someone like you. So there are various things that they're looking at. Just I'd say if that happens, it's kind of like the tariffs. And I have to say to all Americans, as we sort these terrible trade deals out and the terrible economic situation the globalists have gotten us into, we are going to have to pay more for certain goods and services. There's going to be a price to pay for each of us in one way or another. And so I just saying, get ready. It's kind of like going into war. And TJ, I know it's easy for me to say, but for goods and services, it's going to affect all of us. There's a certain amount of patriotism that's going to be called upon for all of us to try to get us back to where we need to be as a safe and solvent a nation for the future of our children. But I'm glad you're listening, and I'm not. Let's talk again when we get back to that topic. Let's go to Caroline. Carolyn, good morning, Carolyn.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, just go for it, please.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you thank you, and I agree with everyone as what our passion is here in this country to get these things turned around. And like Leon said, to educate and get these things out. My thoughts on that is to put billboards up in our communities to state the truth. Somewhere we have to get where our youth is seeing what the truth is. Of course, we all know it's being stifled out. But if we can get bold statements like our values and our freedoms come from Jesus Christ, and that our freedoms stand to lose freedoms forever. With socialism and communism, once they're gone, they're gone. All these bold statements that can be said through a billboard where thousands of people are seeing it every day and the truth is being noted. I just wanted to suggest that to people who can afford it, because we have to work quickly and we have to be bold. And
Carolyn,
I think this is a good voice.
Yeah, good idea. And it's something, you know what, a person like you could put that together even if you can't afford it. It starts where you live. Central organization can't do all this. It takes the efforts of people where they live. And so I would challenge you to think about how to put that. You'd be surprised what you can do if you just get organized. I think it's a great idea. Jordan in Texas. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. What's going on?
I just wanted to say really quickly, because I know time is limited, that for those who are in Texas that are concerned about the veto race, the only thing that you can do that will make things worse is to worry about it and then not go out and vote. The people that are out there that see that they're reporting all these polls, they've reported just about a week or two ago that Beto had he fundraised significantly higher amounts of money than Ted Cruz, and they're seeing the poll numbers not looking as favorable for Ted Cruz. Don't let that discourage you. Go out there and vote and talk to other people, because I worked over the summer. I'm a teacher. Over the summer, though, I worked as a mover, and I was going through some of the wealthier neighborhoods where you see these guys who have lots of money. And unfortunately, I saw tons of these Beto signs. And so that was a bit concerning, but I still know that if I tell all my friends that Beto's a guy that you got to stay away from, vote for Ted Cruz, that's the kind of leadership that we need to keep in the Senate. And if we allow someone like Beto to go in, and I mean, his policies could be a nightmare for us.
Okay, Jordan, out of time, but thank you so much. And gosh, I'd love to talk to you longer, but I can't today. Next week, Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, Washington State. So the states next up. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.